You're listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jason Klass, along with my wife, OnlyFans model and self-proclaimed awkward chick, Stephanie Klass. We are here to get the awkward stuff out of the way. This podcast is a true representation of our journey through anxiety and learning to love sex. If any of that offends you, we'd like to say, fuck you. All right. Welcome, everybody, back to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. And super excited today because we invited Joe Canino on to kind of share some information with us on our favorite place in the world, which I believe happens to also be his favorite place in the world, which is Hedonism 2 in Jamaica. Yep. So, Joe, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. And Joe, you run the group, our favorite Jamaican vacation place. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that is, to me, the tell-all guide, if you want the unfiltered truth about everything Hedo.
Yes.
Well, you know, and the group used to be called Hedonism 2.
Right. I remember that.
Yep. And they threatened to sue me.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to change names.
Okay.
And the group got started, I think it was May 7th, 2007.
Oh, wow.
So it's going on 16 years.
Okay. That's crazy.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. I guess I didn't realize it's been going on.
No, we were. I mean, I was just getting out of high school at that point. So
yeah.
I had no idea about any of that shit.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So what prompted you to start it? Like you'd been, I know, a number of times. So
well,
it was just, go ahead.
Back when I started it, there was a group called Hedonism 2 and Hedonism 3. And it was run by a travel agent in Canada. And I said, well, why can't we just have one just for Hedo 2? And I was a travel agent at the time. And there was so much misinformation online about what went on at Hedo. If you talk to people, it was, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard about that place from my sister-in-law's hairdresser's brother's mechanic. None of it was real. It's like kids playing telephone. It loses something in the translation.
Absolutely.
So I started this group just for Hedo 2. And I said from the start, it's going to be a group for information on the resort. And even though I was a travel agent, I said, I'm not going to solicit business from the people in the group.
Right.
And I never did.
Okay.
And that's why I don't allow travel agents to post their emails, their phone numbers, their websites. I figure if I can provide free info, so could they. And I want the people.
That speaks a lot about you there, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm just saying good on you because I think because of you, I'm sure there are thousands of people who have entered into this lifestyle because you took away this fear factor from everybody.
Right.
And you're like, hey, this is actually what it is. Here's real people that have been here.
It's not scary. It's not overwhelming. It's just
I never, ever would have dreamed of taking her had I not been able to find like real life experiences prior.
Right.
Because,
well, you know, and a lot of members tell me that if it wasn't for the group, they never would have gone. And, you know, back when we went for the first time, there was no internet.
Right.
You know, to some people, that's weird.
That's risky.
But we went back in 94 for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And that was the year of our 10th anniversary.
Okay.
And I wanted to take my wife somewhere to an all-inclusive, adults-only place. And I looked at sandals and couldn't afford it, and looked at couples couldn't afford it. And back then, before the internet, there was CompuServe with dial-up modems. Yeah. And I found a Caribbean group on there, and there were people talking about Jamaica, and a couple of people mentioned hedonism too. And they said, look into it. You know, you'll find it's a whole lot more affordable. There is a nude side and a prude side where everyone has to be clothed. One of the people actually sent me his VHS tape that he made as he did a tour around the resort with his wife.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
That's cool, though.
You know, and I went into the phone book because I couldn't search for travel agencies any other way.
Right.
And I called every travel agent in a 25-mile radius looking for a Hedonism 2 brochure. And never found one.
Wow.
Because they didn't want to carry them.
Okay.
And finally, somebody said, one of the people that suggested it said, call the agency we use. They're in Florida. So I did that. And we had a great time. I booked an Ocean View prude room. I wanted something nice. It was our anniversary.
Sure.
And we get there and they take our luggage and they show us to our room. And the bellman is walking us around and he's waiting for his tip because back then, even though they weren't allowed to take it still, but you know, and he left and I opened the curtains in the room and we were on the second floor.
Okay.
And right outside of our window were 12 naked people playing volleyball.
Okay.
The resort was slow, so they upgraded us to nude Ocean View.
Ah.
Okay.
You know, and there's a lot of stories, but when we came back, one of the people who was known online as Jamaica Jim,
okay,
he said to me, Joe, he goes, now that you've gone, he goes, you need a nickname. He goes, from now on, he goes, I'm going to refer to you as Hedo Joe.
All right.
And that's how I got that nickname. And it's stuck over the years. People know me as Hedo Joe.
That's awesome. Hilarious, man. And I see, you've got the Desire logo right there on the necklace.
I do. We love Desire Pearl.
Okay.
That's where we got that one at. Hedo.
Yeah. You know, and we love them both for different reasons. You know, they're two
totally
different.
They do have their own vibes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like to compare it. So I used to be a professional musician, and one of my favorite things was playing dive bars. You know, I could play the fancy places. So that's fine.
Right.
But I loved playing dive bars because I felt like those were my people. That's what I feel like is the comparison between Hedo and Desire. Hedo is my dive bar. I can go have fun. I can be who I want to be.
You're comfortable there.
Be comfortable. Desire is where I want to go if I want to be fancy. You know, I've stayed in the mansion there.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's two totally different purposes for the same lifestyle, essentially.
Right. But also, we went during COVID. So, you know, it was different.
Ellen,
And Ellen always says, you know, I don't like to walk around a buffet line with 3 or 4 inch heels.
Fair.
So when we go to Pearl, we never go to the buffet for dinner.
Okay.
You know, we never got to go to the buffet for dinner either, Joe. But that was because they forgot to tell us that they were only running like one of the restaurants every night.
Well, we went during COVID.
We went during COVID.
We were there the first month they opened back up after COVID.
I didn't
bring
closed-toed shoes or pants.
So
sorry, we're not going to let you into the restaurant. I was like, oh, okay, well, what other restaurant? They're like, this is the only one.
This was it. And we were
so I'm like, what do I do? And they're like, room service. So I ordered in room service almost all week.
The first time we went to Pearl, it was with 3 other couples. And we went to Pearl, and one of the couples walks in, and a guy had on shorts. And the maitre d' there told him he couldn't come in shorts. And he didn't bring long pants.
Yeah.
He went to the gift shop and bought a pair of long pants.
So
and that was the only way he was able to go in.
I don't think we thought about that.
It was such a... it was like, whatever. You know what? I'm just going to go get it from my room.
Hungry, so
let me just bring it to my room, and then I'll get to go party, you know, again later. But, you know, I'll just get back out sooner. That's fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't like to have to deal with all the dinner crap, you know? Sometimes I just want to be off on my own. We've learned at Hito, especially if you go twice within the year or whatever, sometimes those shows get, you know, a little stale. So we'll typically go eat dinner real quick, and then we take our nap while everybody else is watching the show and everything's dead. And then we'll wake up and we're ready to party.
Right.
Because we learned that a lot of people are up till like 4 a.m. And we thought we were cool. And then we met a bunch of like 60-year-olds that stayed up until 6 a.m.
And we were like,
and
we
just
can't.
Outpaced us. And we're like, okay, we're not that cool.
We cannot hang like that. So I'm like, you know, it's hard. It's hard to be able to stay up all night after being out in the sun drinking all day. And it weighs on you.
It's a sport.
Yeah.
And we always say, you know, our first night, we're going to cut it short. We're going to go and have dinner and go to bed because we're usually up at 4 a.m. to catch an early flight.
Yeah, travel days are rough.
Yeah. And we went 1 year and it was a 4 a.m. wake up and we get there. And of course, we've got a lot of friends and we went to dinner and then we met the friends afterwards. And the shots started flowing, and we didn't get to bed till 4 a.m.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't do it.
Well, you know,
well, you can when the adrenaline's running and you're having a good time. You stop looking at the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's being able to get into the zone, and that's why it's important to find the right group to go with, because I feel like there's been so many times that we've gone, and we've just had the wrong group. And it's fine, because... at this point in our lives, we go when we're able to go, right?
Right.
Like, if somebody's like, hey, we're in town to watch your kids, see you later, I'm going to Jamaica. Right. I don't care who's there.
Right.
But if I had the choice to look it up and
plan it out,
I think that would make the difference for us on staying up until, you know, 4 a.m. is being able to find the right people to groove with.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that'll probably come for us with a little more age.
Right.
But we've just learned that, like,
that's just
the people that are there still we can talk to, and we have the best friggin' time just having conversations with them. The stories they share and the I don't want to say like courage or whatever, but like just knowing that, like, hey, there's other people that think like us and their life is not ruined. You know, check out these successful people.
Right. Like, you got like doctors, lawyers, you know,
it's
school
important.
Teachers.
It's important that, like, hey,
everybody's there.
Have fun.
You know, exactly. And you know, we look at nudity as the great equalizer because you don't know what the person is that you're talking to. It could be a CEO of a company.
Right.
It could be Harry Lang if you don't know him.
Right.
Or
absolutely.
It could be a janitor in the local school system.
Right.
You just don't know. But you know, we always tell people, when they ask, what should we do? You know, I tell people, when you get there, get naked as soon as possible, grab a drink.
Easier said than done.
Yes.
Head to the nude pool. And
yeah, they'll help you get naked there. Security has no problem helping you get naked.
Well, right. Head there, you know, and talk to everybody, say hello to everybody that you walk by.
Right.
You know, that person
that was the hardest thing
saying,
for us.
Yeah, it is. Excuse me. It is hard for some people, but you've got to let your inhibitions go.
Yep.
We had a hard time too with the idea of, okay, we can say hi to people, and they don't automatically have to have the idea that we're going to have sex with them.
Yes, that was hard.
And it's fine because you can say no to somebody there, and they can walk away, and they're just like, whatever, no problem. There's other fish in the sea.
Well,
It's cool
but
to me.
But it's hard to, like, get out of that, like, mindset that it's, like, not everybody is there looking to play with you specifically. It's just everybody is in a general area, and you can be friendly to anybody, and it doesn't mean that you're
Yeah, just because you wouldn't want to have sex with somebody doesn't mean you don't get, you shouldn't talk to them and
well,
share life experiences.
Right. You know, and people have said, you know, they're not in the lifestyle and they start talking with someone and they have this great conversation. And then the other couple says, so are you guys swingers? And when they tell them no, the other couple just slowly walks away. And, you know, I let people know that if that's the case, then you didn't want to talk to those people in the first place.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. There's almost zero time that we go up to anybody with a pure intention of hookup at this point, because that has only led to disappointment and frustration every time. The natural connections that we've been able to have, you know, when it progresses naturally and everybody's on the same page.
Right. That's what it's fun.
Yeah. And we've gotten to the point too. If we really are looking to play, we're going to get that swinger question out of the way pretty damn quick.
Right.
We're not going to be wasting 2 hours talking to somebody and then
find out that
ghost them when I find out they don't want to have sex with me.
You know, and 1 year we're on the little shuttle bus on the way to the resort and Ellen stands up and she goes, okay, who here is in the lifestyle? She finds out early on.
Yeah, might as well. That's funny.
So you know. Was she always comfortable with this, or was this something that she kind of worked into?
Oh, she worked into it. That first trip we went on, neither of us had ever been naked on a beach.
Okay.
We had been on a nude beach in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And, you know, people dressed, people undressed there. But that first time we went, she was okay when we were going to be on the prude side. And when they upgraded us, we went out and we took lounge chairs to the left of the nude prude line, just so we were on that prude side.
Right.
And we sat there and she goes, you know, it's starting to get warm. I think I'll take my top down. She had a one piece on. And then after a while, she says, you know, maybe I'll take the whole suit off and take our floats out into the water. Well, she got up, she pulled the suit off, grabbed the float, held it like this up to her, walked in, and flopped down in the water.
That's something I would do, 100%.
You know, so I took mine off, went out there, and we were floating around. There was nobody around us, nobody on our part of the beach. And she says, you know, I'm getting warm. You know, I could use something to drink. I'll hold your float. You know, and
again,
back then the bar was in the middle of the beach. There was no nude pool back then. So the bar was right there in the middle. So I went up there, talked to the bartender, this guy named Delroy. You've probably heard the name.
Yep.
Okay, I have heard the name, yeah.
And the sign on the bar was Delroy's Bare Bums Naked Beach Bar.
I have seen that, I think. Is it at the big bar now?
Is there a replica of it?
Maybe it's a replica.
I mean, I can't imagine it being.
So,
maybe. I don't know.
I'm talking to him to tell him, you know, I want two dirty bananas because we had heard about them.
Okay.
So he's showing me pictures of him and all these other guests, and he's making the dirty bananas. And as I've got my arm on the counter waiting, two girls come walking up from the nude side. And I don't know whether to look into their beautiful eyes, their great boobs, or the jewelry hanging from their pussies.
Tough decision. You
know, is it tough decision?
It was tough to take all that in at once.
I can imagine.
So I got the drinks, went back down there, and she sucked it down really fast. And I said, she goes, that was good. I could go for another. I said, well, I'll hold the rafts this time. You go get them. So she looked at me and she got off and she walked up to the beach and, you know, I straddled mine, just looking out in the water. And I know how long it took me to get my drinks, and I'm waiting and waiting and I'm waiting. And I turn around and look, and she's standing at the bar talking to this naked couple at the bar. So I walk up there and they introduce themselves and we made friends.
That's awesome.
Needless to say, our swimsuits never went on the rest of that week. And we took chairs further down into the nude beach. We had traveled in with a couple from Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And we met them for dinner that first night. And we saw them for breakfast in the morning. And we had dinner with them again the second night. Saw them for breakfast. Dinner. On the third night, we're having dinner. And the wife says to us, "Where have you guys been? We've looked all over the beach, the Prude Beach. And we didn't see you around the pool." And I said, "Oh, we've been down on the nude side." And the wife said, "Oh." And that was the last time they talked to us the rest of the week.
Oh,
because
no.
We were those people.
Oh, no.
That's our fear, you know, that or it was previously, is people are like that. It makes them so incredibly uncomfortable. They just don't know how to react. So their best reaction is just to walk away.
Yep.
Right.
For sure.
You know, and we had never heard about the lifestyle, knew nothing about swingers. That was foreign to us. We walked out of our room one morning, and back then, across from the Ocean View nude rooms, in the gardens, there was an aviary. They had a whole bunch of exotic birds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we walked out, and there was a wedding going on in front of the aviary. So we went over there to watch, figure, you know, let's show some respect. We wrapped our towels around us, and we watched them get married, and everybody cheered. They went off to do their paperwork, and we went to our chairs on the beach to read. And after a couple of hours, we hear people applauding and cheering. And we turn and look, and there's the couple that just got married. They're coming back onto the beach, and they've got their best man, the maid of honor. And they walk down the beach into the water, out onto one of two floating platforms at the time. And they're on the platform, and the bride and groom start to consummate their marriage.
That's
on the platform.
Awesome. Yes.
The maid of honor and the best man are doing the same thing next to them. And before we know it, the groom gets up and the best man gets up. And now the groom is with the bride. The best man's with the bride. And the groom's with the maid of honor.
That's awesome.
And Ellen says, "Oh my God, I can't take this. I'm going to the hot tub." I said, "This is live porn. I'm sitting here."
That's awesome.
You know, so that's how we learned about the lifestyle.
Okay. I like it.
You know, and we had a great time. It was fun. And she said, "You know, I'm not sure I ever want to go back again, but it was fun."
All right.
Fast forward a few years. And I have been a stay-at-home dad since our first child was born.
Okay.
So through the first and the second, I stayed at home with them. When our youngest was getting ready to go to kindergarten, I said, "You know, I need to find something to do so I can still be here when the kids are home." So I went back to a local community college to their travel careers program, and I became a travel agent. They had 8 courses you had to take. So I got into the business, and I advertised that I would be selling all sorts of travel, but while also adult travel. Okay. And over the years, after selling a lot of Hilo, I worked my way into an agency in town as well. But they would hand over free trips, you know, a four-night trip. So you can come in and see what they've done. Ellen says to me, you know, you can't sell it properly if you don't know what's there.
Good job, Ellen.
I trust you. Go. So I would go solo for 4 nights. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would go for 4 nights at a time. And, you know, there were temptations. I met this one couple, and we were sitting in the hot tub one night, and all of a sudden she drops into the water and she starts giving the guy a blowjob. And I said, well, I'll leave you guys alone. And he says, no, you don't have to go. You can stay. And she says to him, Nate, if we had a condom, you'd let me do Joe, wouldn't you? He says, oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, thank God they don't have a condom, because I couldn't explain that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So after a few of those trips, I tried to do a group for someone. And my sales rep for the company said, I'll get you some great prices. This way you can, you know, present it to the group. And I fell through her cracks. And she never got me the prices. Oh, and the group went to someone else. And she sent me an email and said that she was sorry. You know, she knew I lost out on a lot of commission, a lot of bonuses, a lot of free nights. She goes, I know it's not going to make up fully. She goes, but I want to give you a free 7-night trip. Well, you know, this was almost 15 years after our first trip. And okay. I went home and told Ellen, and she says, yeah, I'm not sure if I want to go back. Yeah, and after maybe 6 months, she says, can you still get that free trip? And I said, I'm sure I can. She goes, if we can go after a certain day, she goes, I'll go and I'll keep an open mind.
Okay.
Now, up until that point, we had talked about a lot of things. We got introduced to sex toys, like you guys. I was buying everything.
Everything.
Yes.
You know, and I had seen online, you know, the Panty of the Month Club. And I said, maybe I can do that. And I looked at the price. It was so expensive. So I said, I'm going to do my own. So I buy a pair of panties every month, wrap it up, and put a sexy card in there.
Okay.
And after a few months, she allowed me to take pictures of her in the sexy underwear. And we tried different toys. And we would role play, and we'd be in bed, and she'd be sucking me, and I'd have a dildo inside of her. And I said to her once, I said, you really like having two guys at once, don't you? Huh? And she goes, oh, yeah, this is fun.
Your response would have been like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
You know, yeah, and through all of that, she was having sexy dreams at night about all of this, dreams that she was with women. So all of that came before her saying, I'll go and keep an open mind.
Okay.
So I got in touch and I got our free week. And rather than them putting me in the sandal zip code, I paid extra and had them upgrade me to a new jacuzzi room. And this was before they did all the renovations, of course. So we get in the room and she doesn't even wait till they bring our luggage, and she's naked, and we're ready to go to the pool. And, you know, people would look at her and comment how great her body was, and she didn't think it was that great. you know, like all women, they don't think they look good. But, you know, it really stoked her ego. And we get in the pool, and there wasn't a lot of people in there. And she started to get cool, so she popped up on the side of the pool closer to the building. And this couple comes from around the corner by the bar, and they walk towards us. And the wife gets out to go to the ladies' room, and the guy walks over, and he looks at her and goes, "Hi, my name's Jack. Those are nice titties. Can I suck on them?"
Game, I wish I had that kind of game.
And her mouth opened. She looked at me and I went, "Go for it." So she said, you know, he was good looking. He was polite. He asked for what he wanted. So she let him.
It's awesome.
And then meeting his wife, it turned out that they were in the same stage as us. They were looking into learning more about what goes on there, more about the lifestyle. And that trip was what opened her up fully. That was a lot of firsts for us. Besides some strange guy sucking on her tits. You know, we met this couple. It was an older guy and a younger girl. And people were sort of creeped out by them because of the age difference.
We've run into a lot of those there.
Oh, yeah.
And once we heard their story, it made it all better. His wife had cancer.
Okay.
And this young girl was her nurse.
Okay.
I feel like I heard this story.
And she spent a lot of time with them. And when the wife passed away, they realized they had some feelings for each other. So they went to Hito. So one day we're in the pool and people are doing body shots with rum cream. Back then you would lay on a float in the pool and rum cream would be poured all over your tits, your pussy, and people would lick it up.
That's amazing.
And this girl, she was 24, 25, maybe, she comes bopping down into the pool and she goes, "What did I miss?" So we told her about the body shots. She goes, "Oh, can I do a body shot off Ellen?" And Ellen's thinking, okay, never had anybody do this before, but so she got up on the float and I poured the rum cream on her and this girl went to town on her.
Yes.
And then she says to Ellen, "Now you can do one on me." And that freaked her out even more, but she did it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. You know, so
that was kind of you too, though. Like you were like totally freaked out. You're like, "I have no fucking idea what I'm doing."
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
you don't have to. It's all about enthusiasm.
Right.
You know, so we were in the hot tub a few days later and we had met this young German couple. And they were in school in Portland, Oregon, but both from Germany. And we're in the hot tub and this young nurse is on the side of the hot tub and she's got Ellen on one side of her and the German guy on the other side of her and they're playing with her. And I've got the young German girl on my knee as I'm kneeling in the hot tub. And the young nurse all of a sudden yells out, "I need a cock in my mouth." And I'm thinking, well, I can't do it because I'm not dumping this cute German girl.
Obviously.
Well, so, you know, and we came home and we had an absolute great time. You know, first girl giving and receiving. First time I went down on somebody who wasn't my wife. No intercourse. It was all soft stuff. But we had a blast. So she said, you know, I wouldn't mind doing that once a year.
That's what you said, dude.
So, you know, I said to myself, well, why wait once a year? And I went online and found swinger websites and put us on swinger websites.
There you go.
You know, and we've met so many great people in the lifestyle. So it's all been fun. And we've been doing that now since that her second trip. And that was back in 2009.
Okay.
That's so cool, man.
That's awesome.
So I do have questions for you, history-wise. So obviously, I'm sure you've come into contact with Harry quite a few times. Did you know Harry prior to him taking over the resort?
We did. We knew Harry because he traveled with the Fluffernutters.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And Harry would always book the resort, or he would have the Fluffs book him under a different name.
Okay.
Because he didn't want people to know who he really was.
Gotcha. That makes
sense. We didn't find out that until he bought the place.
Okay.
You know, and
Did you know prior to him purchasing it that he had that ability to?
No.
So that'd be a bit of a shock.
So he just kind of came out of nowhere. Wow. No. Okay.
I mean, that's a testament to Hito being the great equalizer there.
Exactly.
Sure. That's like, yeah, the ultimate. Yeah.
Now I know what Harry did.
Right.
For a career.
Yep. I looked into that too.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a partnership between him and John Gross and Kevin Levy as the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and after a year, things blew up and people found out about Harry. And that's when ownership changed. But it all worked out well for Harry.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, as far as owning that amazing resort.
There's some drama behind it for some reason, but, you know, to us, I don't have to get involved in it.
No, if we ever meet, I'll tell you in private, but I won't air it here.
I feel you. Oh, yeah. I could read this between you, Joe. I was reading it. we won't dive in any further into that. Now, another thing that I think you may have some insight on, and it's something that I've asked just a ton, and we kind of touched on it with Desire being similar to Hito. But why do you think there's nowhere else that we can replicate this? Because it seems like, okay, we've tried with Secrets. I'm telling you right now, Secrets ain't it. Desire, totally different beast. It seems like this would be an easy to replicate thing that a lot of people would go to.
You would think. And the problem is the governments, that's why Desire had a tough time in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, okay.
And why they don't own those resorts any longer. They couldn't do what they wanted to do.
Okay. That makes sense. But even Jamaica though, like you'd think there'd be more places in Jamaica that would do it. Does Hito have some sort of like immunity there, you think?
There are other places in Jamaica where they have a nude beach or a nude island, not to the extent of Hito. But I think all that goes on at Hito would turn a lot of communities and governments off.
I do. I agree with that. Yeah. It's unfortunate. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that bad. And really, these are the people that you want to have in your community. You want these people spending money because you have the Harry Langs that are just there, trying to be a normal person.
Yeah.
He's going to come in and he's going to fall in love with your community and he's going to fund your roads and your infrastructure just with his income.
Right.
So it's just such a shame. And it's something we talk about often is that if we can take this stigma away, the shame of all this kind of shit,
it just like it would preach be what it truly is and like how like
what it can do for a relationship, what it can do for
Definitely
everything. But there's just that stigma that people just can't look past it, man. It's just
You know, and it works at secrets in the U.S. because it's enclosed.
Yes,
people
they got
from the outside can't see in.
Yeah,
that's true. They got the buildings all
that.
Around it.
Yeah,
right. About that. You know, and they used to have a desire in Cabo.
Okay.
And then they started building a resort next to it that was going to go up higher than the desired resort. And they had a rooftop hot tub, I've heard, with a fire pit in the middle.
Okay.
But the new hotel was going to be able to see onto the jacuzzi on the roof.
That's
so they shut that down.
Man.
Have you had the chance to stay in the mansion at Pearl yet?
Say that again?
Have you had a chance to stay in the mansion at Pearl yet?
We are staying in the mansion in June.
Oh, wow.
First time?
Oh. First time. Mad.
Dude.
It's awesome. See,
it was the best experience of my life.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're going to be there for our 40th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool, man. That's congratulations. Awesome. That's a huge milestone, too.
Yeah, that is a huge milestone.
And we've got friends from Connecticut who will be there at the same time. And it's their 45th anniversary the same day as ours.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Okay.
And they are our best friends in and out of the lifestyle.
Okay.
That's cool.
And we met them back in 2009, and our son was in the army. He had deployed when he came back home. We had a welcome home party, and we invited this couple, our friends. Our son got married on the West Coast, and nobody from home was able to go, so we had a reception in Connecticut for them. And this couple came.
Okay.
When their youngest daughter got married, the daughter said to the mom, "Well, Dad's walking me down the aisle. Who's walking you down the aisle?" And mom said, "Well, I don't know." And the daughter said, "Why don't you ask Joe?"
That's cool.
So I walked the mom of the bride down the aisle at the daughter's wedding.
That's awesome.
That's how close
they are to us.
Well, and that's how you can make these kind of friendships if you open yourself up to people like that, you know, and let people in. It's tough to be vulnerable for sure, you know.
Right.
But once you can get past these stigmas and find other people, like that's where you can make these like real fucking friendships.
Right.
I mean, it's incredible because you don't feel like you're hiding anything from anybody. You can bare your soul to them.
That's right. Yeah, and
your whole.
Yeah, both.
I couldn't resist.
And the way we met this couple, we had seen them on one of the swinger sites. And, you know, being new, we were too embarrassed, too shy to reach out to people. And we happened to go to a meet and greet early on. And it was at this dive bar. And it was so bad, we pulled into the dirt parking lot and we said, "Do we really want to go in there?"
And, had that question a few times.
Yeah.
You know, and I backed into a parking space just to see the kind of people that were walking in. And these two couples walked in and I said, "Let's just follow them in." So we went in, we paid our fee, we sat at the bar, and the other two couples had gone to the end of the bar. And the two women went up to dance, and one of them, this blonde, says to me, "Do you dance?" And I said, "Yes, sometimes." So they grabbed Ellen to dance with them, and the three women were on the dance floor, and the song ended, and Ellen came back, and this other woman came back, and the blonde is still there dancing. And the blonde looks me in the eye and goes, "Eh." And I said, "Okay, how can I not go now?
Yeah.
And afterwards, the husband said, you know, we've been wanting to meet you guys. And this was perfect, because if we sent a message and you sent a message back and then the message back, he goes, it could have taken a couple of months.
Yeah.
But it worked out so good. And now I tell people that when we met, this woman, Jill, made me come with just one finger.
What? Oh, my gosh.
That's a good one. I like that.
That's awesome.
That's cool, man. It's great to speak to somebody that's had more experience in it. We're at the point now where this awkward phase where we have to start like telling people before the narrative takes over. It's just always reassuring to hear that, you know, there's a life after, you know, people find out that you're a sexual deviant.
Right.
You know, it's cool too to see that you and your wife, even, you know, 40 years on, are still active together.
Right.
And, I think that's the most important thing, honestly.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Of everything, that's you know, for me, that's the most important thing of this. My sexual desires be damned. It's the connection that she and I have
right.
through all this stuff. And I think if, you know, if there's any reason for anybody to do it, that's probably it.
Well, but, you know, I mean,
for sure.
You know, if Tiger Woods and his ex-wife had talked about this and gotten to the lifestyle, that crash never would have happened.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
That's true. That's all it is. You just have open communication, you know. It's
right.
not
You don't have to
it doesn't have to be a sinful thing. It doesn't have to
right.
be a betrayal of trust.
Or shame or whatever. It's
We started thinking of ourselves as kind of like a team once we got married, where it's like we can just go and just have fun and just get wild, and whatever happens within our relationship stays here. I think
that's
more
it.
People should do that shit, you know?
For sure.
And then you'll have less issues with people trying to go outside and get wild. And, oh, I had to, you know, I felt so, you know, restricted. And
that right. I had to go outside the marriage. And
I've never felt restricted. I tell her I want to do something, she's like, yeah, let's try it.
Yeah.
Well, now she is. It used to be like, maybe. But
Yeah. Used to be maybe back then. But, you know, now I'm a little more open. So.
Well, Joe, I will let you go. I really, really appreciate your time with us today.
Yes,
and
I
would love to have you back. I have more questions. So I'm going to reach back out to you on her Facebook at some point in the next few months, if you're willing to talk to us. Maybe I'll wait until you come back from the mansion.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I would like to do that. If you're open to that.
Sure.
And we can compare experiences. I bet yours will be better than mine, but.
Oh God. You know what we were doing at the time. Are you staying in the mansion the entire time? Or are you
7 nights?
That's awesome. Okay.
We had that chance. We'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
Sore subject for him. So.
But everybody make sure you go check out Joe's group as well, our favorite Jamaican vacation place. It is the one and only guy that you need to check out. Just search the bar and you will find everything you could possibly need.
Absolutely.
And if you see Joe comment on anything, obviously read every word because he knows what he's talking about.
You know, I may not have all of the information. I may not have been there the most times. I mean, there are people who have been there 150,
200
times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hey, let's not discredit you, man. You've earned your right in the Hito fame.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
The amount of people that owe their you know, credit to you for, you know,
encouraging
them
to
is
go
just
and
awesome.
Thank
so
you.
Do not discount that whatsoever, and please let us know when you're ready to talk again, and I'll send you over links to all this through email as well once we get it all done.
Very good, and I'll post a link to it on the group.
Awesome,
oh, sounds
I'd appreciate
good. I appreciate
that
it.
Too. It was fantastic talking to you, Joe. I'm going to go ahead and hit stop here, and then just give me a second for this to finish recording, and we'll be good to go. Awkward people, Stephanie and I are super excited to announce a new partnership that we have with a swinging community site called SDC. Now, the way that we're going to handle this one is this is where we're going to communicate from now on with anybody that we want to play with, because SDC has a great way of letting us figure out exactly what somebody is. It's going to ask all the right questions. I get to know what their height, their weight, their play preference, all kinds of pictures. They can upload videos, and it makes it super easy to search and verify location on. So we figured, hey, if they're going to let us play and advertise, that's probably going to be the right site for us to use, right, Steph?
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense.
It's like window shopping now. Steph can just jump on and whoever she likes, boom, right there. Now, if you want to make sure that you get connected with us on that site, sign up through our link, awkwardxxx.com. Anybody that signs up there, we will find out. Now, maybe not immediately because we're still learning, but we will find you and we will send you a message saying, hey, thank you for joining. And it'll be a great way for us to connect and have unfiltered conversation together. So we're really looking forward to it. And hopefully we'll see you online at awkwardxx.
So, you know, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene.
Yeah.
You know, the Summer's Eve products, you know, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not Summer's Eve.
Right.
Or Spring Blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, it's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern, was what is this going to smell like?
I was like, uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And, you know, you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself, too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
Works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to, take away that natural
flavor,
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo and use our discount code StephanieClassX and get yourself.
Hey, Jason, I think it's time for some shameless self-promotion.
All right, babe. What do you got on your mind?
Well, we've been talking about the Spicy Pages a lot on the podcast, but I think it's time that we finally invite them in and let them see what it's all about.
Yeah, okay. I mean, everybody always wants to know how to get involved and all that kind of stuff. And the first way to get involved is to, you know, actually see what it is that we do. All of our stuff is so real and so raw.
Right.
But are you thinking we do it like movie announcer style?
Sure, we can give it a try.
All right, let's give it a go.
In a world where ordinary podcasts just aren't enough, two podcasters with incredible genitalia break free from the mic to bring you an awkward experience like no other. Exclusive content awaits at virginitysnatchers.com.
Dive deep behind the scenes and join us for unfiltered, uncut, and undeniably wild adventures.
Don't just listen, be a part of the journey.
You can come watch me take every single virginity, see close-ups as they enter my pussy for the first time, and get an even closer look into our kinky world.
How was that for dramatic?
I mean, it was dramatic. It might be a little over the top, but I think they'll get the point.
All right. Well, if y'all want to reach out to us, you check out our paid pages. You can find them all on virginitysnatchers.com. Love to interact. We love to do custom content, and we love to help answer your questions. If you need a guaranteed response, you find us on there. If you want to support us, that's the way to do it. Now,
let's get back to the show.